Good morning and welcome. If you would, be opening to Acts chapter 11. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you being here this morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you. It's good to have all of you here, and no doubt our purpose is that we have come together to worship God. We trust that as we study together from His Word this morning, that you will be edified and built up in the most holy faith, will help us to be better servants of His in the coming days. Beginning in Acts 11 and verse 19, "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord." "And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." We have been spending quite a bit of time in a consideration of the church that we read about here in the New Testament. Getting to know that church, in other words. We've previously noted that the word church in our Bibles is the Greek word ekklesia, which simply means people that are called out of one relationship or location and into another. It's not a particularly religious word. It can be used in that context, though. And when we speak of the church of Christ here in the Scriptures, we're speaking of that which belongs to Him. We're not talking about an institution. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a group of local churches. We're talking about people. People who have obeyed the gospel from the heart, who want to be exactly what God wants them to be. In Romans 9 and verse 26, they're called sons of the living God. We want to be the people of God. We want to do what God tells us to do in order to become the people of God. And that's what we've been focusing on. We are talking about people. People who have been called out of the world and into a relationship with Christ Jesus. We've also noted that there is a distinction between the way the word church is used here in the Scriptures. It's used in the one sense that we would refer to as all of those who are members of the body of Christ, wherever they are in the world, even those who are also long gone. This is the universal sense in which it is used. All of the saved that have ever lived in any location. That concept is seen in passages like Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus said, "I will build my church." Or in Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23. These are individuals whose names are written in heaven. We also see that the Scriptures refer to the church in a local sense. It refers to people in a geographical location. The church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, and so on. People, again, who have been called out of the world and into a relationship with Christ, but they have banded together in a local area, in a community, and they are working together to promote the Lord's cause in that location. And that concept can be seen in passages like 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, or the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and verse 3, or chapter 3. Now, the last time we took another step in our understanding of the Lord's church, we found that the Lord's body, the Lord's church, is undenominational. meaning that it does not consist of a coalition or an association of local churches. There are many in the world today who think that as in John 15 verses 1 through 10, where Jesus was talking about the vine and the branches, that the branches joined to that vine are denominations. There are some who call themselves Christians who believe that they are local churches that compose the universal church and so on. But these passages are showing us that the Lord's church is made up of saved individuals and not denominations, not institutions or churches. Individuals are attached to the vine, and that's what Jesus is illustrating there. Today we're going to see that when we understand that the Lord's church is not a denomination consisting of local churches, as we've just said, that we will be able to resolve an assortment of problems that arise when we're speaking to unbelievers. You may have recognized that there are many people in the world today who do not see or regard the church the same way that we might. It may be that they do not understand the church or the word church in the sense that the New Testament uses it. What we want to do is to understand how that our language and our speech needs to change with a proper understanding of the Lord's church. When someone asks you a question, such as, "Do you think that you're the only one who'll be saved?" There are a number of possible concepts that that questioner may have in mind when he asks you that. A simple yes or no answer is simply not sufficient until we understand what that particular person is actually driving at. First, we must understand that the person is asking if we think only the Church of Christ will be saved. If the person is using the phrase "the Church of Christ" in the universal sense, then the obvious answer is yes. The Bible tells us that all of the saved from past and present are the Lord's church. They are not in something, they are the Lord's church. We see this in Acts 2 and verse 47, where those that were being saved were added by the Lord unto the believers. Unto the believers, His church. By definition, the Lord's body only consists of the saved and no others. The Lord knows who are His. There is no wickedness. There is no disobedient person in the Lord's body. There is no rebellious individual towards the things of God in the Lord's body, no matter how he may say that he is associated with the Lord or in fellowship with God or whatever. But we also need to note that it is rare that the questioner has this concept in his or her mind when they ask that question. The person is usually not asking if all of the saved are going to be saved. The person is not asking if everyone in the Lord's body is saved. That's usually understood. But the questioner may have the local church in mind, or the church the way it's used in the local sense. Sometimes he is asking us if we believe that the only ones who will be saved are those who belong to our church. We know that the answer to this is no. Nowhere do the scriptures teach that our local church will be saved. Now, there are two reasons for this. First of all, we know that there are Christians in other states and other countries who do not belong to our local church. We know that there are Christians in Jerusalem, for example, who have already died that were never part of our local church, but yet they are saved. Secondly, we know that there are those who belong to this local church that may not be saved. Men can be mistaken. God is not mistaken. As I said, He knows who are His own. This was true in the first century as well as it is today. When you think back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, the church there at Corinth There was a fornicator who had fellowship with that church in Corinth. But there was no fellowship with him and God, and at that time he was not saved. In Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6, you see that there were only a few that were faithful to Christ in the church there at Sardis. Though many were part of that local group, met with that local congregation, yet they were not a part of the saved that belonged to Christ. Therefore, if someone is asking if we believe that being joined to a local church where we attend is going to save them, then we have to answer no. Salvation is determined by being in fellowship with Christ Jesus, not by being in fellowship with a local church. Now, often the person who is asking this question is asking us if only people who are saved are those who attend places where the people call themselves the Church of Christ. He is asking if the collection of churches, in other words, that call themselves the Church of Christ, are the only ones who are going to be saved. As we noted in our last lesson, this is a denominational concept that we as Christians need to be fighting against, because the Lord's church is not made up of local congregations. The Lord's church is made up of individuals. The church of Christ is not made up of churches. It's made up of saved people, wherever they may be. But the questioner is not thinking of the church as people. He's thinking of it as a collection of churches. He is used to looking at churches in the way the religious world looks, so many of them at least, looks at today. It's vital that we understand this before we answer their questions. So we need to take care then. If we answer yes, then we are perpetuating the concept that the Lord's church is a denomination, and that we should not do. That it's a denomination, in other words, that's made up of local churches. However, if we say no, then we are conveying to the questioner that other denominations are also going to be saved. Neither of those concepts are true. So how do we answer this particular question? I think we need to answer the question exactly the way that the Scriptures answer it. For example, when you notice Mark 16 and verse 16, you realize that there the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, according to this passage, who will be saved? The Scriptures say it very simply, he who believes and is baptized. Now, we need to tell people that only those who have obeyed the commands of Christ are the ones who are going to be saved. Only those who are in fellowship with Christ and not in fellowship with the world any longer are going to be saved. The same thing is pointed out in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, and in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. There we see that simply being religious will not save anyone. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Religious appearance is not what Christ has called us to. We must have total obedience to the Word of God. Only those that have obeyed the commands of Christ Jesus will be saved. If the Lord's body is undenominational, as we have shown very clearly that it is, then we need to speak of the Lord's body in such a way as to communicate to others that it is undenominational. Sometimes when a person approaches us, he will say something like this, "Well, I'm a Baptist, what are you?" Our reaction can be to answer back, "Church of Christ." Have you ever heard that? Sure you have. You probably said it. I have. Before I began to understand exactly what the church was about here, as it's used in the New Testament. Again, we need to consider our answer. What is the answer that we're giving, conveying to that particular person? It's very important that we understand that. Do I believe that I myself, as an individual, is the church of Christ? Or do I believe that I myself, as an individual, is a church of Christ? Or do I believe that I myself, as an individual, is church of Christ? By definition, the word church means that it has more than one person. It is a collective noun, if you'll notice, denoting that it has a plurality of members. By definition, we need to understand how the New Testament defines these things. And that's very easy for us to note because of the context and the way the word is used. One senator cannot say he is Congress. One sheep cannot say he's the flock. And one Christian cannot say he or she is Church of Christ. May say that, but it doesn't convey a lot of meaning. It's simply not true. One individual is not the universal church, as we've said, because the universal church consists of all of the saved from times past to present, wherever they are. People in other countries, whatever. And one individual is not a local church because that consists, or it consists, of all of the Christians in a geographical area that have agreed to work together and worship God together according to the way that He has prescribed. What we need to recognize is that person asking us what denomination we are? Is that what the question really is? When he states the denomination that they are, and then he asks what we are they not implying that they want to know what denomination we are? Now, how are we going to answer that? Are we going to answer it in a way that explains to them that we're not a denomination? That one individual is not the church, and so on? If we answer Church of Christ, then we're again perpetuating this denominational concept of the Lord's body. What we need to tell people is, very simply, that we're Christians. Now, they will usually respond that they know that we're Christians, but what kind are you? Meaning, what denomination are you? But we're not any kind of Christian, and we don't belong to any denomination. And yet so many people in the world today don't understand that. We are simply Christians, and this is what we see in the New Testament. Person says, well, I'm a born-again Christian. Well, is there any other kind? We're simply Christians. What we see here in the New Testament, in Acts 11 and verse 26, we see the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. In Acts 26 and verse 28, King Agrippa did not say that he had almost been persuaded to become Church of Christ. He had been persuaded, or almost been persuaded, to become simply a Christian. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, we read of Peter identifying those followers of Christ as Christians. He says there, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. We need to identify ourselves to the world as Christians and not communicate to others a denominational concept in the process of that. They need to understand that what the Lord designed here is different. When He said, I'll build my church, it's not like what denominations and religious people in the world today have made of it. We do not find in the Scriptures one person identifying himself or herself as Church of Christ. Now, you often hear the question, what does the Church of Christ teach? And again, we're perpetuating the same kind of idea if we're not careful in how we answer. Someone who asks this question is not thinking of what the individuals who follow after Christ teach. They're using the term Church of Christ in a denominational concept by suggesting that there is a head or a headquarters that is telling those local churches that make it up what to do, what to teach, what to preach. They will say that the Baptist Church, or you can name any denomination, for example, that you want to teach such and such, or teaches such and such. Some creed or convention that they have has told them that this is what they believe and this is what they teach. Do we have a creed or a convention that tells the disciples of Christ what to teach? You don't find that in the scriptures. What we want to understand, or what people rather, what we want people to understand, is that what matters is what Jesus teaches. What does Christ teach? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." Jesus instructed his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, teach the gospel to every creature. We do not want people to focus on the teachings of institutions or denominations or individuals. We want to know what Jesus teaches and if our lives are in obedience with Christ's teachings. Preaching Christ crucified is important to us, as Paul utilizes it here in the New Testament. When we think of the Lord's church, we think of people who have been called out of the world and are in a relationship and fellowship with Christ. And we understand that the Lord's body is made up of people. Now, do we want to teach people that the authority is in us? Or do we want to teach people that the authority is in Christ, in His revealed word in the scriptures? Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He's the one with the authority. When we say that the Church of Christ teaches, we make the same error that the Catholic Church makes, or any others like this, because it's concerned with what the Catholic Church teaches. Meaning, what does the Pope, what do the cardinals, what do the priests all teach? But it does not matter what our friends, our neighbors, our preachers, our teachers, our leaders teach, because they can teach errors. We need to understand what the Word of God teaches. What matters is what God teaches to us in His Word, and that's what every one of us must follow. It's pure egotism if I were to tell you to follow what I teach in this local congregation. We must follow the Word of God, and if someone teaches different from the Word of God, that person must not be listened to. Have you ever seen or used the word church, or the words Church of Christ, as an adjective? If we're not careful, we're using it in a denominational sense. Listen to what one person said. He said, "My childhood was of the strict and straight Church of Christ variety. As a teenager, I was the moral and doctrinal example of Church of Christ orthodoxy. I memorized all the scriptures that are important to the Church of Christ. I mesmerized myself with the Church of Christ doctrines and vigorously defended the Lord's church. I was proud of my religion. I was conscientious and zealous. I chose to go to a Church of Christ college because of my affection for the Church of Christ doctrines." See how denominationalism works? Was there any misuse of the phrase Church of Christ? By the way, each time it was used, church was capitalized. Is it being used in a denominational sense when it's used like this person was using it? Does the universal group of saved people have a college? Does a local church have a college? The term is being used as a collection of congregations, isn't it? I guess it would be appropriate to say like the United Churches of Christ or whatever. This person is speaking about doctrines and colleges as in reference to a collection of congregations. What is the Church of Christ orthodoxy? I hope there is none. We preach and teach Jesus Christ and His Word. When we speak of things as Church of Christ preachers and Church of Christ songbooks and other such descriptions, we're speaking exactly like denominations speak in a collective sense of churches of Christ here. Now, I'm not a Church of Christ preacher. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm a preacher of Christ Jesus. I'm not a preacher of some sort of an alliance of churches that have that name on their building. That's not the way it works in the scriptures. However, we can use the phrase Church of Christ in a way that is not denominational and still describe ourselves. Just exactly as Paul used it in Romans 16 and verse 16 when he said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ, churches of Christ greet you." Now, what was Paul referring to when he used it in this manner? When he said the churches of Christ, he wasn't referring to the Church of Christ denomination. He wasn't referring to the universal church either. He was simply telling the people at Rome that there were other people who were followers of Christ in various locations around the world. Didn't matter whether they were in Greece or Rome or Asia Minor or wherever, Judea, they're churches of Christ in different locations, local congregations. He was not referring to a Church of Christ denomination. This is the proper way to use the phrase Church of Christ. We use it to describe that we are people in a relationship with Christ Jesus. We also need to be sure to place the emphasis on the right thing when we speak. Who are we speaking about when we say Church of Christ? Who is the one supposed to be getting the credit here, in other words? We're referring to saved people who have been purchased by the blood of Christ and are in fellowship with Him. Why would we want to place the emphasis on ourselves? We want the emphasis solely on our Lord. He's the one who did all of the work. He's the one who came to this world, who showed us grace and mercy. He is the one who saves souls. The church doesn't. It didn't then. It doesn't now. We do not do any of these things. We are in need of all of these things. So let's put the emphasis of our speech where it belongs, on Jesus Christ. We need to speak in biblical terms. We rightly correct those who do not speak the way the Bible speaks. But we need to hold our own feet to the fire to be sure that we're speaking in scriptural terms as well. We need to think about what we're saying. We need to understand the church as He tells it to us here in the New Testament. We want to communicate to the world that we are simply Christians, that we follow the Word of God in every way, and the Church of Christ is simply a group of saved people who have been called out of the world and into a relationship with Christ. It is not a denomination, it's not an institution, it's not a collection of local churches, it is simply made up of people. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Now, what about your relationship with God? Are you in fellowship with Him? The Bible tells us very clearly how to be in a right relationship with God. When you look at the Word of God, you'll find the need there for your faith in Christ Jesus, your trust in Him. Trust Him with your soul salvation. He tells you about the need for repentance and for being baptized in order to get into this right relationship with Him. And He tells us about the need to walk in a new life that glorifies Him each and every day. Is that the kind of life that you have? The new life that's in Christ Jesus? He's made it possible for us to have that life, to have the remission of our sins, if we're willing to humble our hearts to Him. Obey from the heart that form of teaching that's been communicated to us in His Word, we can have the salvation of our souls. We can be in a right relationship with God. We can do that this morning if you'll come as we stand and as we sing.